Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder. I'm here in Northeast Missouri. And with me today, we have Allison Chablot in the UK. And also we have Jan in South Africa. So Tricontinental Report.
And we're going to talk about various things today. There's a lot of garbage going on in Europe, some of it involving Scotland and COVID and legal suppression of free song and free speech. Jan has much to talk about in South Africa, and I will wrap up the U.S. election. I will talk about QAnon. I will also talk about Douglas Mackey, Charlie Vaughn on Twitter in the last election. You remember all that. That's a big thing in the last couple of days. Maybe we'll throw in just a little bit about this GameStop stuff that's happening. But anyway, hello and welcome, you two, on your various continents that you're in charge of.
Hello, Alex. Hello. Hello, everybody. Hello, Jan.
Allison, have you been writing some songs? And what's going on in Europe Americans might not know about?
I've been writing songs about COVID-19. Well, in fact, I've not written the songs. I've composed the music. It's another collaboration with the British-Swiss publisher, Gerard Menuhin. And they are satirical songs. They're all on, there's some on BitChute and some on Facebook and elsewhere. And I'm going to publish another one on Saturday. It's quite a different style. We did four COVID songs. So that we'll make a little EP when I get down to recording the couple of the more professionally, shall we just say. And the next song, which I will post hopefully this weekend, meaning that I will have posted five songs for production. Arbeit macht frei, Arbeit macht frei. And that will be a poke at the transgender lobby, but I'm not going to say more than that. I want it to be a little different from what, if you heard some of my last little numbers, pub style numbers, but that's been great. It's really kept me busy. I saw a video earlier today from the BBC. Sometimes they do useful things still. And it was an organization for people who have been suffering from the after effects of some flu virus. And they claim that singing is a really, really helpful way of making people more aware of their breathing and how to
from your diaphragm.
That's right. And it does make a heck of a lot of difference. It helps you reach, and of course the singing is enjoyable. We win by singing, said Manfred Roeder. That was his catchphrase. So I recommend it highly. And of course it's better than a facelift. Let me finish. It's better than a facelift, you know. Because if you're using all your muscles correctly, not just your vocal cords, but your face, your mouth, your tongue, and all these vocal cords are the strongest muscle in the body. They can take a lot of...
Wait a minute. What about the tongue? I've always heard that was the tongue was the strongest.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't know. I just want to say the United States has the ugliest trannies. If you're looking for a place that has a lot of really ugly trannies to inspire you, believe me, this continent is tops.
Well, I saw the Joe Biden's choice for the Secretary for Health. And it, you know, I'm so very sorry. It looks like a man dressed as a woman. I'm sorry.
It's such a satire. Like, I mean, you have to, it really is. I've often thought the best figure for this age, I use it because everybody's seen it, Dirty Harry, where that crazy wacko nut hijacks that school bus and forces the kids to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. You're forced to play along with this insane charade. Yeah. That this beast of beasts is a woman. And as soon as he got in office, Biden signed off to reverse everything Trump did. And part of that was reversing the trannies. They have to be let in the bathrooms. They have to be allowed to compete in sports. So, yeah, I forget that person's name, but everyone will know who you're talking about. She was like from Pennsylvania. She's some Jew who supposedly became a woman, and he appointed her. What did he appoint her to? I don't know, but it was just the other day.
Yeah, health. I think the Secretary of State for Health.
That sounds right. Yeah. hideous, hideous Jew tranny.
Are
you even allowed to sing in public songs making fun of trannies, or is that a hate crime in the UK?
Well, there's no live performances anywhere. You know, it's an even harsher lockdown, and now they're saying that they can't rule out another lockdown next winter. COVID-19 is being used for the Great Reset. I think that's what everybody has to learn. They want it to be done by 2030. Even the World Economic Forum are admitting as such. They're using the term the Great Reset.
Yes.
This is what it's happening. They want us to own nothing, but we'll still be happy when we own nothing.
Yeah.
It's time for these leftist progressives to really wake up. I mean, somebody was saying today, the Tory party in Britain, they're like the National Front back in the 80s. I said, no, they're not. Look at Boris Johnson's cabinet. It's, you know, an emblem, an example of diversity. And, you know, I'm sorry, but he's far more left than... It's always the same, whether it's in Labour or whether it's Labour or the Conservatives.
Yeah. You know,
they're all moving to the left, far more left-wing than Margaret Thatcher, his cabinet. They're all friends of... a country that I'm not allowed to say the name of. Can you imagine?
Good God.
My gagging order. I don't like to talk about myself. I just say that if you go to my website on the About page, it just says, yes, I'm there again going after me for something I said on a podcast. I explained that, I think, in our last show. That's the 30th and the 31st of March. If it goes ahead because the justice system is crumbling like the rest of the country, there's a massive backlog in cases. And the Home Office has apparently wiped 400,000, maybe I'm exaggerating the number, but tens of thousands of police records of people who are being investigated and seeing as I'm...
You mean like actual criminals versus like song criminals like you? Song criminals.
That's right. As I'm already a convicted anti-Semite, even though anti-Semitism is not a crime in the UK. Otherwise, if it were, no courts. It's the being, you know, potential people who have been framed, whatever.
Yeah.
They've apparently all been lost, and it's just that they're incompetent. This cabinet incompetent, and they have a huge majority, so that is not going to change. And it looks like my legal troubles, for various reasons, which I'm not going to talk about today, are going to continue well into, not only into 2021, but into 2022. See, my cases will probably go to the Crown Court on appeal, which means there will be a severe delay because they can't get a jury of 12 people into a small room in a court because of social distancing.
Yeah.
So there's this massive backlog. I mean, they're just going to have to cancel. Oh well, who could they? Whose crimes could they let off first?
You have to open up space for the hardened song criminals by throwing the rapists and murderers back out in the street.
Yeah. Yes. But the COVID-19, we're seeing Britain is. Got one of the highest rates in the world, but I'm highly skeptical of COVID-19 being any more dangerous than a severe flu pandemic in other years.
Yeah. It's garbage. They claim it's killed like 15 people in our county, like two of them are 95, and I know one person who's scared by it, and I'm like I've tried to tell, I'm like, look, you got to understand. Everything you see on TV or mass media is the reverse of the truth. I'm like, they're trying to scare you into staying inside. And basically, I don't think it's worked on most people, but for some people it has worked, and it's disgusting.
It works on some of the people I know. And I'm not surprised, you know, it's older people. They've been watching the BBC all their lives. And some of the reports, you know, it's just basically they're there. And the grave diggers, you know,
do you want to be alive? You're afraid to breathe around other people. I mean, what the fuck? Oh, 6 feet. Oh, yeah. If you come within there, you're going to. I mean, at some point, you got to stop. They got to stop teaching people. I really believe this because I've literally seen this, but like, don't you want to be good? Don't you want to be a good girl? Saying that to little kids, you put the fear of laughing at what's stupid in them, and then they grow up and they believe crap like this.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, we've seen it before. And unfortunately, people do believe it, and it, you know, you even see them out on the front doorstep with pots and pans clapping like seals.
Yeah, but see, but why don't we? If we are we genetic outliers because we just instinctively sense how stupid it is and not true, and how it's being put up to some nasty agenda? Are we really that far from like average normal people? I've always been not really understood that or wondered about that. In my own case, at least. But why is this so obvious to me, and it's completely not obvious to everybody else or a lot of other people?
Yeah, I agree.
This is 90-10, but there's all these people who, and I'm like, it's got to be biological that these people just, like, physically within themselves cannot not conform to what someone in perceived status and authority is saying. And I think that's the case because I've talked to people who had the Hmong belief who were technically PhDs, and I could see, I'm like, it's the same damn thing. There's like some inbuilt thing that I must not have that they have that they just cannot go against someone who is in perceived authority.
Yeah.
That's the best I've been able to do, and I've thought about this for decades. I'm sure someone with more of a biological or psychological background, formal, would know what the answer is, but it's something.
They put the fear of God into you know simple people, and then they make them feel guilty. They shame everybody into wearing masks. And
some of them get off on that too. Some, especially those women, really get off on telling other people to wear masks, and I think wearing it themselves. Because I see these young ones who are in like college. I'm like, why would you want to be wearing a mask? And they like, I just can tell. I can tell what they're thinking. It's strange.
Yeah, well, the other strange thing is, I think I probably mentioned it last time, you know, government's own data worldwide, daily death statistics, cause of death, etc., all proves that it's a load of bollocks. And even at 99.999% survival rate.
And people are making the point, hey, like the average person not only had all these preconditions, but the average death was higher than the average death otherwise. So, I mean, it's so absurd. You know, the point I was going to make earlier, you were talking about song, that Ingo Hasselbeck in Führer X, a very good book about this guy who was a radical in East Germany. He would talk about them singing the German national song and how inspiring it was while they were all lagered in East Germany. So there's some proof to that.
Die Fahne hoch, this one, yes. Yes, and then Germany, all these singing of these songs is banned. You can't sing these songs.
Excuse me.
Yeah, unsurprisingly. Another couple of snippets of news. There are protests. What I was going to say was that the vaccine rollout has been most intense in Britain, in Portugal. I saw also Gibraltar. And in the country that I'm not allowed to mention in the Middle East. and this is where the cases are rising. You can see quite clearly today there was a small article about Gibraltar that the cases had begun to decline. Then they rolled out the vaccine, mass vaccination on the 27th of December. And there's been 15 deaths since then. And 53 deaths in a small place like Gibraltar. And the rate has again gone sky high. But then you can look at the COVID positive false PCR tests and all this. So there's been all this. How come the vaccine, and they're saying, of course, the vaccine probably won't be effective against new strain. This virus, I mean, it can go on mutating indefinitely, can't it?
Well,
it doesn't exist. It's an invisible enemy, but it mutates.
That's what the politicians needed to do. It's very useful.
Indeed. For the Great Reset. I was going to ask you, sorry, Jan,
let me just make a quick point.
Okay.
I was embarrassed at how weak my own thinking was because I had been using, like, the CDC is the main federal public thing, Centers for Disease Control. I think it's out of Atlanta or down south. Had been using these flu, X number of people die of flu. And so then they're making the point, like, the flu deaths completely went to almost zero.
Yeah.
And the thing I was thinking is, why do you use their stats when they're obviously lying about COVID? Now we know they were lying about the flu as well. So I wonder if it's like that in Britain or anywhere else, if they have one statistical body. But, yeah, basically all they've done is play games with numbers that were already inflated to get people to take flu shots. And now they basically turn that up by an order of magnitude, which means 10 times more for this COVID stuff. And yeah. The flu numbers just, oh, no one's dying of flu, even though we were saying that for years and years, there'd always be, you know, 50 to 100,000 people die of flu. And now it's like zero. It's dropped not literally like 98%. So like, these people are just clowns putting out whatever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how if there's comparable skullduggery in Britain in that regard.
I just want to mention a few things about COVID and stuff because, you know, I didn't want to take this stuff too seriously, but there are a couple of things that I've come across that are really show that there's a serious problem here. I was watching a very interesting video by a new group in America. I think they're American Frontline Doctors or something like that. They call themselves something along those lines. And this is a new group of doctors that have gathered together and they're doing their own thing. And among their stuff that they're putting out is they're telling people not to take the vaccine except if they're like over 70. But one of the things that one of the doctors was saying, which really got me thinking, was sometime back I'd come across mention that coronavirus, decades ago, coronavirus was known as the common cold. And this particular doctor said exactly the same thing.
Well, yeah, and coronavirus mean it's a family of cold viruses. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what coronavirus means. They're claiming this is a novel. This is a new variation of the cold virus is what they're saying.
But even that doesn't make sense because she then went to point out, and I've come across this also from another source, that this is the seventh coronavirus that we know about. We've had six before. And you know what? Previously also, the coronaviruses, even when we'd had it, even when they worked for 20 years trying to develop a vaccine for it, it failed. So this is not something that you can really develop a vaccine
for.
Yeah,
exactly. And you get a cold, you get over it. If you're really old, it might kill you, you know? I mean, it's not complex stuff.
Right. Now, listen to this. Then somebody sent me a video of a professor, a white lady, and she was talking about the fact, and by the way, all these doctors are saying that this stuff is not being tested. It's not being tested by humans. And they were saying...
Of course not.
And they were
tested on animals. It's not being tested on animals either.
Well, it couldn't be long-term if it just popped in the last year. How long-term could they test it? They don't know. It's just...
Exactly.
The whole thing is politics masquerading as science, and yeah, you better believe it's from the government.
Yeah.
It's a threat to you. That's my absolute view about everything across the board, knowing what it has done and knowing the type of people who are attracted to it and the way their twisted minds work.
Well,
that's from a movie.
let me just finish with these things. So this professor was talking about the fact that this vaccine's got something like mRNA in it or whatever. And they were saying that in animal tests where they'd done these experiments with animals and using mRNA or whatever, they said that that this mRNA takes your immune system and makes it like overexcited and it overdoes its job. And that with animals, they found that a year after they'd been given the vaccine, the animals started dying. And this professor was saying that she's concerned that, you know, this could be happening with humans. So, and you know what? Last year, when we did our lockdown in South Africa, I've got film footage of it. The president of South Africa, Ramaphosa, he made a joke, and it's on film, where he said, you know, he's putting in the lockdown and, you know, until the end of April or whatever. And then he jokes and he says, yeah. And the other thing that I just want to mention about this is with all this talk of of immunity and herd immunity, and you get it and you're supposed to get some kind of immunity. How come that we now have a second wave of it that is apparently more dangerous than the first wave? Didn't people get any kind of immunity from the first one? So anyway, those are just some points about COVID.
And we never see any social media footage. There might have been a little bit from China from the beginning of, you know, people suffering from this disease. You might see a picture of hospital with somebody with a respirator or tubes and tubing up their noses. But, you know, for the horror stories that we heard at the beginning, I find that there's very little evidence in the day and age of social media when everything is on film.
No, what it's actually done is scare people away from normal medical operations and going in. It's scared them. Oh, I can't go in there. It's going to be full of COVID. And in that way has produced actual misery and suffering. So much so that these hospitals are actually having to, like, run ads on radio saying, hey, it's okay. You can call us and make appointments and come in. We'll do it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it is in a lot of the U.S. Also, that's not counting the bad things that happen forcing people to be inside all the time. It's resulted in a lot of suicides and more divorces and problems and kicking people out of their jobs. Well, we know the number one cause of divorce, if it's not something sexual, it's going to be money.
Yeah.
If people lose their jobs, they start going nuts. They're locked up inside. Also, a lot of people are super extroverted, and just being locked inside drives them crazy. These good-looking teens killing themselves. Because they can't get out there and circulate.
Lockdown is responsible for more deaths than flu or COVID.
Yeah, there's no holistic looking at the whole thing and saying, even if you people weren't a bunch of historical proven tested liars, even we could still have to account for the other side of what's the downside of kicking people out of their jobs and locking them inside. You know, no, you don't ever hear that. You never hear that accounting. It's just, oh, where all these great things are going to happen if everybody is afraid of everybody else and wears these diapers over their face. Oh, we're going to bring in Nirvana. We just got to do it for a little. Well, it's already been going on, you know, over a year now. So, about a year now. So,
yeah.
No, when these people see now, I'm not claiming I have any special knowledge, but I was a healthcare journalist for a lot of times, and I sat in many a conference where I listened to some PhD with a crank plan that the organizers felt compelled to include because he had some kind of federal bureaucratic title. There are loads of cranks who would love to inflict their social engineering on normal people, and they just need political power to do it. And that's essentially what Fauci and his type are. And you would be 100 times if government got completely out of healthcare and let people just go hog wild doing whatever the hell they want to do. And yeah, the Puerto Ricans will fix a flat in their butts, but you'll also have people who are good and who actually know what they're doing, who are able to offer services at a much reduced price from this insurance regulation complex that dominates everybody in the U.S. and is called a free market, but isn't. But that gets into a broader question. But when the government's involved, then they can run stuff like this. Oh, it's for your own good. Oh, yeah, we haven't really tested this. We don't know that it works. It's going to change your DNA. And it the country is so messed up in so many ways that they all just lead back to the bigger problem of this government run by a racial alien that is doing everything it can to destroy us. You say, who's getting destroyed? Well, it's the people running the small businesses that are basically solid, independent white people who mostly would have voted right wing, voted for Trump, hoping he would do something. And these are the ones who are under attack. It's not the people in the system who are suffering. You know, and they get caught continually not wearing masks. So, you know, they know it's all a big joke.
Yeah.
It's just a way for them to control people.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to sell some killer disease that's actually killing people. It sells itself. Like I like to say, if someone's coming down the street and blood is pouring out of their eyeballs, that's kind of compelling evidence that it might be something real. You know?
Bogies in the street, you know, the smoking chimneys. No, I'll stop there.
You don't have to hype Ebola, you know? That's how I look at it. Oh, this invisible. Oh, I'm going to be killed by some cold. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, Boris
I really
Johnson,
doubt it.
Our Prime Minister Boris Johnson doesn't believe in COVID because today he went to Scotland to save the Union. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, well, I mean, I believe colds exist, but I don't believe we need to alter our lives around them. You know, yeah, if you're old and you're really sick, you probably want to be more careful than other people, but that's the only place that maybe some measures were needed. And what do these monkeys do? They force a law forcing sick people back into the nursing homes and kill a bunch of people.
It's not,
I mean,
even
the one thing that no rational person would do, they did with the force of law behind it. So these people are idiots.
Yeah. They call it a pandemic, but there's even grains of truth coming out of some politicians saying, yes, but, you know, it's the demographic. It's over 65, yeah. over age 65.
Well, see, and that's the thing. No one making a rational point can get in the mass media for the reasons we all know about. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trapped every which way. You can never make any adult decision in your own life. And you can't even argue for it because the media is controlled by the same people who are and are running and backing the politicians. So you're completely throttling it, well, at least in America, the people who made it a pretty good country are being squished.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, some of your liberals and others have gone and said, you know, that they need to take these measures because the system is collapsing. There was that thing where Pelosi, she's put in some rule about mail-in votes. Anybody can now do a mail-in vote and you don't need to prove it. Something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that particularly, but all you need to know is the general principle. They want no ID. Everything else, you got to show three forms of ID to get on a plane. You know, if you read pulp from the 50s, people would buy plane tickets under fake names, hop on the plane and fly somewhere. They'd use $500 bills. Well, now you got to show all kind of – the one place they don't want any tax, they don't want any ID, they don't want any control whatsoever is voting for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
They're up to no good. And yeah, they mailed out mail-in ballots to everybody, whether you requested it or not. I didn't request it, and I got it.
Oh, wow.
I had not been a registered voter for probably 2 decades. And then I registered thinking I might vote in a local election. I didn't. But yeah, mailed out. I got at least one ballot. So they cheated. They stole it. They know it. And they're... You know, they don't want anyone talking about it, and they pretty much had their way because the media is completely on their side in the USA.
Of course.
And all the QAnon people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the QAnon people were thinking Trump was going to cross the Rubicon and he had some deal with the military and he was going to arrest all these. And that all came a cropper and died. And Trump got in his helicopter or whatever and flew down to Florida and is now at Mar-a-Lago. And Vox Day was the one I was watching for months, claiming, oh, they got a plan, they're going to do something. And they're looking at every little thing Trump does and says under a microscope to prove that he's got some plan where, don't worry, kids, trust authority, and nope. I was like, I cannot believe someone who claims he's that freaking smart is putting his entire reputation on the line for something that is obviously false. Trump doesn't have any kind of a deep plan. He protested and tried to – the thing is, it's so – even did I say this last time? I can't even remember when we recorded, but he couldn't even get lawyers to defend him in a lot of these states to take up his case for a stolen election because they're effectively blackballed. People from the big firms who could supply people like, hey, don't help the Trump campaign, even for a bunch of money, because we will be blackballed if we do that. So the exact same treatment that's been afforded to white nationalists for 20 years is now being afforded to just regular, normal people and all the Republican Party and the president. They're essentially trying to deplatform en route to destroying just 75, 80 million normal white people. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So.
Yeah, no, we haven't spoken for quite a few weeks because.
Yeah, I kept thinking it would be resolved, and it wasn't. Yeah. So now we're at the point where finally, like I was wrongly saying, yeah, it's going to be resolved. And if you don't, no, it wasn't resolved until January 20th. It was disputed. Trump was in the right, but basically he's fighting the entire, and I'm not defending him when I'm saying this. This is an objective matter. He's fighting an entire entrenched system where the media and courts and everyone with any kind of power, money is on the same side. And they're basically now, there's not even two wings of the same party. There's just like truly one party. And a few people are in the system who feel a little differently, but they're now kind of overwhelmed. So it really is becoming kind of one statist, leftist, Jewish, anti-white party. And that's all. And no one's allowed to disagree. And if you disagree, you can't have a bank account. You can't have any normal access to the internet. It's just showing itself for what it is. I guess that's the value of Trump. As many people have said, it's truly shown anyone who's paying any attention that there is a one party state in America. And if you're not on board with their agenda, they're going to screw you every way possible. And you don't have any peaceful recourse through the courts, and the media will always be against you. So what do? Now you can't even run a business because they invented this bogus disease. So they're putting people in a difficult position.
Absolutely.
Well, Alex, what do you think of the end of Trump? And do you think he's going to do anything? I saw that he said in his sort of going away speech, he said something like, "We're going to be back in some form or other."
The speculation is that he will either do his own media company or maybe he'll try to run again in 2024. One interesting thing I saw on pieville.net, which is our little island in the Fediverse, apparently people are like, well, why didn't, when Twitter is blocking him, why didn't he join Gab or one of the conservative sites, Parler, yes, the other one usually brought up? And they're like, the person said basically that Jew Kushner, who he's related to and is letting run his stuff at the White House, basically wouldn't do that, wouldn't let him do it. So there you go.
Yes, I read that, Alex, that Kushner was the one who pushed him away from Gab. But I saw that Torba was pushing so hard to get Trump onto Gab, and he was even boasting that I think it's 1 million people joined Gab in 48 hours.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's a bunch of bullshit, basically. Torba is not telling the truth about that. He's doing what a lot of forum. Oh, we have this many members, but how many of them are actually active? It's maybe a few hundred. Believe me, that stuff is not true. Now, there has been a lot of surge of I've seen it myself, a surge of interest in people looking around trying to figure out what is going on. And they're even so scared and confused, they even start looking at the radicals like white nationalists, because I've seen that in letters from people and contacts from people. Has gone back up. I hadn't seen it like that since maybe the early 2000s. So there is a wave. I'm just saying it's not like there's millions of people joining up and posting there. No.
So you're saying from your experience, you are seeing more interest coming from people in
yeah,
the right?
More than I've seen in years. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Same here.
Excellent.
You'll get letters from people or emails from people who, oh, I found you, and you know, you got to watch because there can be feds and that type of stuff. But there's also people who legitimately are trying to understand what is going on in this country. A lot of people just live their day-to-day life and they work. They might watch the little news at 6 p.m. or something, but they don't really think about it. But then when you get where, like, what the heck? We got to wear masks? Everything's shut down? When normal life really, like you were saying about the madness of crowds, when something really big happens, at some point, even the least thoughtful person has to lift their head up.
Yes.
And it's like, what is going on here? And then they start maybe looking around to maybe some sources they wouldn't have considered before. Because if the system's not filling my belly and putting money in my account, then I'm starting to have a problem with it. That's how average people are. And then they might be, oh, he's just a grumbler. He's just, you know, he's a misfit. He doesn't work. This system is working fine. I can go to McDonald's. I can watch TV. Everything's good. But when that starts failing, that's when all of a sudden all their sense holes open up for maybe taking in a little new or slightly different information that normally they don't want to hear. And that's kind of where it is, I believe.
Yeah, and like the tourism and the travel industry, they're strict. I mean, every lockdown has gotten stricter over the
years. Yeah, it's harder to travel.
And you can't travel. Just how ridiculous is this? People coming in from certain countries are going to have to sit in a hotel for 10 days, quarantined. And people, as you're saying, the average person, that's what they like to do. You know, they like to go away from to escape the British weather for a couple of weeks to the Canary Islands or to wherever, Spain, south of France, wherever, skiing. All of that is gone. How is the tourism industry? How are these travel companies and the transport companies, how are they going to survive all this? They cannot be bailed out pointlessly. I mean, it's
they're destroying the airlines in the U.S. Like Warren Buffett, the most famous investor in the U.S., had all of his money or a lot of his money in airlines, and he pulled it out pretty famously within the last year, I think it was. They're screwing them now. We're huge. Obviously, Britain is small, so you're going to have to need a passport and go somewhere else, or maybe not within the EU when they were part of that. But here, I mean, you could just drive around. But, you know, they got no fly list. Are they going to force people to prove that they've been vaccinated or prove that they have a negative test before they get on the plane? I mean, yeah, they've destroyed the airline industry here.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Even the Eurostar, which is still operating, it was the last time I looked, they want to, you know, strip with a PCR positive test.
Yeah.
And that's got to be presented at the time you book your ticket, I think.
Yeah, see, that's why the U.S. is somewhat better, because I can get in a car and in 24 hours I could be in South Texas on the beach, or I could, within 24 hours, I could drive out west and be in the mountains. But if you're in Britain and you want to go to Spain, yeah, there's at least a couple of countries involved, and then you got to get into their damn bureaucracy and all that. So, yeah, it'd be much worse like Britain and where the small countries are.
Even here in South Africa, I've got a friend who operates in Botswana, and even for him to travel to South Africa, he's got to get his COVID tests. The prices are artificially pushed up, just like with you guys, and he also has to do quarantine. And so the whole thing is a scam, but he can't do it any other way. You're not allowed to move, even here.
Yeah, we've had near me quarantine at least two, and I think yesterday was the third time I've seen them doing the vaccine to people line up in cars and get it. But we still have publicly mandated masks, which I ignore. I ignore where I can. Someplace I'm forced to wear it, but you got to demonstrate, like, yeah. And I think people like it when they see people not wearing masks, and that's another reason I do it. Like, somebody has to lead the way, and show, like, hey, let's not be scared of this stupid junk like some cold.
Well, that is one advantage of living. Sorry to interrupt, Alex. That is one small advantage of living in a multi-culti hellhole, is that, you know, the multi-cultis, they don't give a damn really about what the governments are saying to them, about the authorities. They've got no loyalty to the government of this land, so they don't give a shit.
Now's the time to let your inner nigger run wild, is how I look at it.
most people I see are not wearing masks. And I'm sure it's pretty much the same in you know, as you go.
I've had one, I walked into Dollar General, which is a total parole dollar store, and they started yelling at me for not wearing a mask, which I didn't even do it on purpose. I just wasn't thinking and acting like a normal person who walked in there. Hey, I'm wearing a mask. So, okay, I got to wear a mask. Most places, or at least the post office, no one's ever said anything. I'm waiting for someone. I thought someone might, but no one else in line has ever said anything to me. Some of the thrift stores, they will make you, but I've also not worn it in there, and they no one said anything. It just depends.
The staff at the supermarkets in Britain, they now have a tablet at the door. So there'll be a member of staff with a tablet, and they check who's coming in, who's wearing a mask, blah, blah, blah. And they have asked me, for this third lockdown, I've been asked several times over the past week, where's your mask? Now, if you have an exemption, you don't need to wear a mask. So, exempt, I've got a card, I am exempt from wearing a mask. But the guy asked me, and that is an offence in Britain. If somebody if you're exempt from wearing a mask and you are asked, the person doing the asking is committing an offence under the Disability and Hate Crime and Inequalities Act.
That's good. Can't you use that?
Oh, yes. I said to the guy, I said, you do know it's an offence If you say to them, "I'm exempt," they just say, most of them know that it's you can't force somebody to show their exemption card even.
Wow, that's more like liberal than we have here. The Walmart puts people at the door, and they will say something if you didn't. But I don't know.
Allison, how do
we do have exemptions, I guess. But
how do you get an exemption? Because we don't have that here.
There are several sites where you can go and print off your own card, including Transport for London. You just print off a card. You can go to the government's own website and print off a little card.
And ask for exemption, and you get it.
Well, you just say, "I'm exempt. I'm not wearing
yeah. that." Are you serious?
Yeah.
You exempt yeah. yourself.
What are they going to do? The people running the stores don't know anything about that stuff. Well, they have to respect it or not.
They can't ask you to prove that you're exempt. It's an offence under the Disabilities and Hate Crime and Equality.
Which is amazing.
So, it is.
So some of this Jewish liberalism eventually starts rebounding and creating very weird situations that nobody ever foresaw, which is fantastic. It's beautiful.
That's probably why Priti Patel, or one of the reasons Priti Patel, Home Secretary, said that she was going to look at these hate crime laws and maybe repeal some of these restrictive laws. Maybe that's what she was talking about. You'll have to go, you will have to provide exemption. There'll be a chip, won't there?
You probably have to have a doctor's note or something. But I don't know. You might be able to do the same thing. I don't know. I just wear it, and then if I have to wear it in the store, I just pull it under my nose once I'm inside the door.
Yeah.
Well, I do the same thing as you. I pull the thing under my nose, and I walk around like that most of the time, unless they actually tell me to, which is now and then. But in South Africa, it's a law. You can't go outside without a mask. And I couldn't believe it when I was told this week that you have to have a mask when you're driving in the car, even alone. Because I was looking at these people driving on the highway, and they're alone in the car, and they're wearing a mask. I was thinking, how dumb can you be? And then I was told, hold on, the police will pull you off, and they'll whack you. And I think, Alex... I think they've fined something like 20,000 people already in South Africa
I mean, that's here they do that for seatbelts. Stop you for no other reason you're not wearing a seatbelt and fine you. So if they do that, I guess they can see masks just as well. But we don't have that law, I don't think. But I actually don't know if you're – we have to wear it, I guess, in public, but – it's hard to say because no one's like walking around. But if you go in the store, you got to wear it, or at least in theory. But I was at the auto mechanic. No one in there is wearing it. No one really gives a shit. It's so dumb. You can't have laws that no one respects or follows, where there's no obvious need for them. And if you do, you're increasing disrespect for the law. That was always the theory, and it's true.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I try to let it impinge on my life as little as possible and encourage others to act rationally as well by my example. But knowing that, you just laugh. It's terrible stuff.
Over here, the law is strict on these things. Every business and place that you go to here in South Africa, they've got a black at the door. He takes your temperature. Yeah. You sign a form. In some places, you have to sign a form. Like if you go to certain,
than we have here.
Yes, wow. You have to at the court, and at my doctor's place. Those two places, they take your temperature. You fill in a form with your ID number, your phone number. They've even got a questionnaire asking you, do you have these symptoms, blah, blah. And you've got to tick no, and you've got to sign it. That is at the court and also at the doctor's place. In all the other stores, there is somebody at the door. They will either just make you put that stuff on your hands. What's it? That sort of disinfectant.
Sanitizer.
That sanitizer is at every store. There are some places where they will monitor your temperature. The blacks, it's been drummed into the blacks that these are the rules, and they are very firm on it. And, of course, with our latest lockdown, we're back to no alcohol. So you can't buy wine, you can't buy nothing. I think the lockdown, all go, but the Africans are quite active. And we've got curfew, 9 o'clock in the evening, curfew, can't be outside after 9 o'clock. So it's like almost like being in a war zone.
Wow. No, we're not that strict yet. I mean, the police raided a rave. There's been these illegal raves going on. 300 people, I think, were there. And there was a wedding of a certain ethnic minority. 400 people, that was the
thing. Yeah.
Is it one of those ethnic minorities you're not allowed to talk about?
Yes, but it's okay because the director of the school passed away from COVID last year. That was the headline. You clicked on this story, 400 people at a wedding.
Right? Oh, yeah, they do that in New York. Story,
and they've changed the headline to school director died from COVID last year.
They have pictures of them whirling around. They're continually in battles with de Blasio in New York over the Orthodox simply ignore him.
Well, there's huge protests going on in their homeland in the Middle East. As are the protests we've seen in the Netherlands, huge protests this week, and in Austria, a sea of people. Finally, people are protesting these lockdowns from the government. My local shopkeeper, who's from Karachi, Pakistan, he just got back from Pakistan, and he said that no one's following any of the government restrictions over there in Karachi. Oh, it'd be summertime over there, I imagine, will it? But, no, perhaps not. But it's
summertime where Jan is, I think.
Yes,
summertime where Jan. Yes.
Yeah, there's the southern hemisphere.
Is in the northern.
Still northern. Yeah, you're right.
Interesting, but glad to see that people are protesting against the lockdowns, because the lockdowns are the real issue. Absolutely,
it's the issue of the day for sure. And as I said before, just my last little bit of news, and I want to hear from Alex about his further thoughts on Trump. But in Scotland today, Boris Johnson went for a day trip. Now, there's this big rivalry, of course, in Scotland between the Scottish so-called nationalists, the nationalists who have long time campaigned for Scottish independence from the Union. They wanted to leave the United Kingdom, but they want to remain in the European Union. So go figure that one. You know. Yeah. And so there's quite a rivalry between the Sturgeon, Nicola Sturgeon. She's the First Minister of Scotland. She is the head of the Scottish Parliament, which is a devolved parliament. They do have a certain amount of devolved power, certain amounts of independence, but of course they are not independent. We are European Union, United Kingdom. That's England, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, and Scotland. And all the three little nations aside England, they've got their own devolved parliament. We're in England, we don't have one of these. England doesn't even exist constitutionally speaking.
Really?
Today, Boris Johnson, yes, that was under Tony Blair. Today, Boris Johnson went to visit Scotland to save the Union, but in fact, it was a big cover-up by the press. Not only that, First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, who was her mentor was the former leader, former First Minister, a man called Alex Salmond. He's about 60 years old, quite a famous Scottish politician. And he's of the more traditional nationalist kind, rather than these liberals, you know, who want to remain in the European Union. They want to leave the United Kingdom, but remain in the... They're not nationalists, they're liberals. The SNP. Well, in fact, it's been revealed over the past year, he was accused by somebody within the Scottish National Party in a circle of attempted rape. He was accused by several women. He was taken to court, but he was found innocent. And it's been revealed today, or in a court case yesterday, that, in fact, it was all a setup, that this Alex Salmond, it was all a conspiracy. He was framed by the present First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, and her inner circle, including several women who, and the police and the Crown, they were also involved in this conspiracy to completely destroy Alex Salmond politically, that he would be remembered in the public eye as a rapist, as a sex pest. And none of this is true. Absolutely none of this is true. He was acquitted on all counts, but now it's come out that she not only conspired against Salmond because she thought Salmond, because Sturgeon sees him as a political rival, she covered this up. She hid it from her own parliament. So she's obviously breached the code of the parliament there. Apparently he's going to give more evidence next week. But all of this, like I said, has been completely suppressed by the press today. All I saw this morning was, Boris Johnson is going to Scotland, despite Nicola Sturgeon telling him it's not an essential journey. You can speak to Scottish constituents over Zoom. But there is Nicola up there. She's a very driven woman, obviously. And another interesting point is that today she covered it up by, apparently the SNP lost lots of its support because of the Attorney General up in Scotland, who's a woman, a lesbian called Joanna Cherry, who's a transphobe. She's also one of these kind of salmon-style nationalists. She's one of these lesbians who doesn't particularly appreciate men in dresses who claim that they're women. So that doesn't look good for the Liberals and the SNP. So that's what Nicola Sturgeon did today. I didn't watch her video because I just can't abide to watch these politicians. But that's what she did today to cover up this story of how she, and it's an affidavit by a diplomat, Craig Murray is his name, an ex-diplomat, and he was blogging about this case all last year. And then he was charged with contempt of court. And this trial took place yesterday. So there are published affidavits on his website, which are fascinating to read. It's quite a long article. I'll send it in the chat to you both. But just one of these paragraphs says that that they covered up a meeting, but this meeting with Nicola Sturgeon was that if Alex Salmond could be convicted on just a single count, he would be destroyed politically forever, which was explicitly the objective. He would be on the register of sex offenders and branded a rapist in the public mind, even if the actual offence convicted was touching someone's knee. This is the length that these so-called Liberals are prepared to go to. Of course, the victims, they got all these women to come and say, oh, yes, he touched me. And then apparently one alleged that she'd been pinned down on a bed. Complete nonsense.
All of them
were granted anonymity.
Yeah.
During the proceedings, but he wasn't, of course. So when his trial was ongoing last year, he was ripped apart, called a sex pest, called a rapist, but then he was acquitted. So that's all finished. So it's going to be a very interesting week, in another interesting week in British politics. It's a bit of a centralized British topic, but it is interesting. And for the meta politics behind it all, I mean, goodness me, how is she still in place, this woman?
Alison, this sounds a lot like the vendetta against Trump. I mean, it's a similar kind of a thing. They're just out to destroy this man for their own liberal reasons, and they will do absolutely anything. It's interesting to see these Liberals who always said that they are middle of the road, and they, you know, when they criticized apartheid and when they criticized the Germans and they criticized the South or segregation, it's always, those whites, they are so vicious and brutal, and they do this and they do that. And now you see those Liberals doing exactly the same thing. You know, they used to say, the whites censor and control, etc. And look at big tech now censoring the entire world. And an attorney told me an interesting thing the other day that I can't believe. I don't know if this is true, but he says it's true. He says that everything you've ever posted on Facebook can be used in a court against you anywhere in the world now. That's what an attorney said to me. So,
well, surely not if it's, you know, you're for your friends only. If you've got a group on Facebook and
no,
you post something.
No, he said to me, anything you've ever posted on Facebook can be used in a court against you.
I think they'd be wasted. You know, can you imagine the waste of energy?
I hope it's not true.
Yeah. Well, you've been banned, haven't you? I mean, I suppose even if you suspend, even if you're suspended, they can still use, you know, posts. Even if you've been suspended, can they do that? If you don't, no longer, when they've kicked you off.
I would think so. I think the only. I don't know how true these things are. Another thing I've noticed is that on the phones, you know, Facebook took over WhatsApp, that chat application on the phones. Even here in South Africa, I could see on my phone, because I've got Telegram as well, I could see on my phone, because Telegram notifies you when other people on your contact list move on to Telegram. I saw dozens and dozens of people I know, even non-whites, just shifting away from WhatsApp onto Telegram for weeks now. People are freaked out. People are definitely freaked out by WhatsApp now. They are freaked out by it.
They'll be coming after Telegram, though. They already are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're not going to let anything go.
I saw that on the 26th, two days ago, the board of book burners were at it again. Amazon, they've banned the Leuchter Report, loads of other books. It's 92 titles they burned.
I saw on Facebook is boasting that anybody who types in anything about the Holocaust, Facebook will now take you to a website or something where they will teach you about the Holocaust. So not only are they censoring it now, they are also busy indoctrinating you with Jewish propaganda.
Well, it's the ADL, isn't it? They've been going after.
Yeah, they're working all those. There was something that happened that we should mention in relation to Trump. I don't know if you two remember, but there was a fellow called Ricky Vaughn who used the avatar from the movie Major League, Charlie Sheen's character. And now he was an influencer. There was some poll about who had influence in the 2016 election, and he actually placed higher than talk show people like Stephen Colbert and other very well-known names. He was like 107 out of 160 or something. Anyway, the Department of Justice, this all seemed to come out yesterday, has arrested him. He got in a fight with Paul Nehlen, who was a candidate in Wisconsin, and Nehlen doxed him. And I thought actually Nehlen was right to do it, because he was doing a bunch of bad stuff from his anonymity. Anyhow, his true name came out. His name is Douglas Mackey. He's from the Northeast. His father is a Republican operative. So yesterday, apparently, the Department of Justice arrested him. He got out on a $50,000 bond or something for posting memes telling black people they could vote by texting. Like, you know, like joke memes. So this guy is very good at reading polls and circulating memes and all that. A very smart guy, a young guy, too. He's only like 30 now, I think, and it said. And so he would have been, you know, mid-upper 20s. And so, yeah, they're hauling him into court. So anything you do, you're interfering with the civil rights of blacks. You're trying to mislead them as to how to cast their votes. They do with Trump. If Trump says, Trump said you can cure coronavirus with bleach. You know, if someone makes any kind of a joke, they'll treat it straight. And that to leftists is a very clever thing to do. But when the leftists work with the Department of Justice, they can go down and bust this guy and cause endless problems in his life. So that happened just yesterday, but he was a very big influencer in the 2016. He was, I guess he was on Gab when I came across him, but he was very good, very sophisticated about polls and democratic techniques. If you're into that kind of stuff, I am not really, but I enjoyed reading the stuff he had. He's very cutting edge compared to other people, and did have a big influence. And so, yeah, they rounded him up yesterday. As for Trump, he's just back down in Florida. But yeah, go ahead,
Alex. What is his real name? I just want to type it.
Douglas Mackey, Mackey, I believe.
Well, Alex, I must tell you, I think the man is a total genius. I'm going to definitely tell people here in South Africa.
And you know, and nice, I was seeing on Pyville as well. Yeah, on Pyville as well, there's an example of like they posted the exact same type meme from some Asian telling Trump voters to text their vote. So you see, again, it's just pure political prosecution.
Yeah. Anti-white. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, anti-white. And they're going to hound everybody. And the big thing was they had, you know, this supposed what they're calling an insurrection where a bunch of these people gathered at Trump's behest in the latter days before January 20th. And they ended up going into the Capitol. Mostly they were let in. There were a couple windows broken. But this is being treated as some kind of, it's the kind of thing, oh, this is a spring revolution. If it was anywhere else, they'd be supporting it, just as they're supporting and giving directions to people trying to overthrow Putin in Russia. But here, and this wasn't even anywhere near that scale, but a bunch of them wound up going in the Capitol, and now they're treating them as revolutionaries, and they're hunting them down one by one and getting them fired and messing up their lives. So,
a violent insurrection, they called it.
I mean, you have to know these people. I mean, they're the same the world over, I'm sure. But I went to college and I was in a newsroom with them, and I know how they think. And they like lying and dirty tricks. They're jealous of anybody who can get a bigger audience than they can by not being insane and actually being talented. And they're bad people, but they're the ones running the show. And then I'm not even talking about Jews. And on top of that, are the ones they're working with are Jews. And yet they're going to use all their political media power to go after and smash the lives. And they don't care how low level of an employee you are. You can work at McDonald's. They're still going to get you fired if they possibly can. Like there was like an example, some woman who I guess runs some site about babies or feeding babies or babies sleeping. And well, now they found out that she donated money to Trump. What are we going to do about that? You know, this treatment that used to be accorded to white nationalists is now being accorded to the mainstream right-wing party that basically most normal whites belong to. So
maybe it's a good thing though, Alex, because it'll shock large numbers of people when they see.
Well, good or bad, it's inevitable. It's happening, and it will only get worse. And you know, when you see the mentality of these people, you can't have any doubt. Look, it's the same bloodlines, the same thought lines. Why would they blanch or stop at rounding up and mass murdering people they hate? I don't think they would, and I don't think most people think they would. They have zero tolerance for the slightest disagreement with them, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's where we are. I don't know if there are any specific questions about Trump. The whole big thing, and the main one I followed, this QAnon thing. I heard Microchip was, before I say that, Microchip was arrested too. A real smart ex-Mormon guy from Salt Lake, like a grad student level intelligence. Constantly, a very funny guy attacking people constantly, which I like. But he kind of disappeared, and I hadn't even heard that he was Q. But anyway, so right after the election, when nothing happens, or not the election, but when nothing happens on January 20th, apparently, whatever the main Q site was, which I don't know, just said, look, this was all satire. We have nothing going on. Blah, we are not supporting any kind of insurrection or anything like that. And basically said the whole thing was satire. The main one I've been following who followed and treated with respect QAnon and those people was Vox Day. And he backed the whole way that there was – that something was going to happen, that everything Trump was saying had a secret meaning. And when nothing happened, so far, just moved right on. All their – and I mean he had hundreds of comments from people talking about all this and just completely blasting anyone who disagreed when you could see plain as the nose in your face, Trump is not any kind of a deep planner. The guy's out golfing and making – he reacts to stuff on Twitter when he's allowed. He's not someone who has deep plans about stuff and is working with the military. And just the insanity levels is off the charts. And, you know, Trump – now, the important thing is that Trump could get these hundreds of thousands of people to go to D.C. And if they had actual leadership, they could have pretty much sacked the Capitol and started going after these people who are killing the country. That's the important thing. But Trump is not a serious man. Trump likes the sound of his own voice. He likes speaking to these people and firing them up. And then he leaves. Yes. He's out the door. And the next day he's on TV basically denouncing his own people. The guy is completely disloyal to his own supporters. You know, while endlessly, what I'm doing for blacks, lowest unemployment ever, what? And he literally is letting black criminals out of prison. The Republicans are letting these people vote so that they will basically, they're, as long as they get theirs for 2-3 more days, months, years, they don't give a damn what happens to their state or their nation. They really don't. They're just going to line their own pockets and say what needs to be said and then scoot out of town and live the high life, and the country will be destroyed. And that's where we are.
Well, Alex, Trump has proven a couple of things now. We already said even before the stolen election that Trump has proven that that voting doesn't work. Even when you vote for the right guy, it doesn't work. Now you can see that even if you vote for the right guy, they don't count.
Yeah, I made as formal a statement as I could on social media. I just said, look, I will put my reputation on it. I don't like Trump. I don't like his supporters. I will put my reputation that this election was stolen. So whatever weight I could add from someone respecting my opinion is, I believe it was stolen. Yes. And I don't think it's really questionable. Some people disagree with that, but no, well, you don't shut down the voting and then reopen hours later and, oh, miraculous. Mirabile dictu. Our man just leaped thousands ahead and we won all that. No way.
Alex.
And I still drive around and there's loads of Trump signs out there. You can't tell me that Biden won that. He didn't win it.
I listened to a snippet from Vox Day the other day. I think it must have been around the 20th, and he was still kind of like believing in the plan.
Yeah.
You're saying now he's completely
– That's QAnon. Didn't say a damn thing. He didn't come out and say, I was – like what I do, I say, look, I was flat wrong. If I would took that big of a position, I mean, he's been doing it for months and months and months and months. I'm like, wow, you just bleep on. And I figured, like, I even posted the link to the Pee Wee Herman clip where he's like, if you ever seen that movie from like 20 years ago, he's like, you probably don't know, you have any idea what I'm talking about, but he's riding his bike and he does like a header off it and does a complete flip. And he gets up in front of all his little tyke friends, is like, I meant to do that. And the point is, I figured he was going to do something like that. But no, he was just abusing anyone who cast any doubts. And this guy is constantly bragging how he's got an IQ that's 5 deviations higher than standard, which is a pretty stupid thing to brag about, actually, because it just is. And it's nothing. So far, nothing. I mean, and now what are we? We're 8 days later. Well, you got to give it 48 hours. You just don't. And I mean, parsing Trump down to prepositions. Oh, he said of. No, he said to. Yeah, just insanity. And I'm like, why don't you people, now that this has failed, when I get something wrong, like I said earlier on this, what I got wrong is like, okay, I even mocked myself in some of the tweets. I'm like, yeah, guy, I understand, man. Making the connection between CDC and CDC, that's a long jump, like a Bob Beeman-sized jump, that if this same group is lying about this, why in the world, how could you possibly connect them with this other group that's the exact same group? if you get, I'm like, why you doubt the COVID, but you believe the flu? You've also seen for years and years the government promoting this stupid flu shot. But now that's called into question. I never believed they did it, and I would avoid it. But I'm like, yeah. So I don't like – if I'm citing stats from someone that I believe, I was like, yeah, they're claiming – there's. I'm like, why did you believe that? And I go out and say, okay, I was repeating information that is false. Those flu numbers for how many people died here from the year are from the same tainted source. I'm like, no, they pushed the good water over here, and that's what we were drinking. The poison water is all over there. No, it's the same bullshit source. The whole thing is just politics. It didn't start or stop, even with the flu. I wouldn't believe anything they said now, unless there was, you know, very good rational reason to believe it. So you got to come out. If you're going to be honest and clear, and you want to have, the way I look at it, you want to have credibility. If you're wrong, you got to say, okay, yeah, I was wrong about this. I hadn't realized, like, oh yeah, the numbers can't go from whatever they were claiming to zero. So they're playing games with all these stats related to this stuff. So you just say, yeah, I was wrong. You know, I can be fooled. Everyone can be fooled. But he has not done any kind of a mea culpa for this QAnon garbage. And he was getting quite vicious with anyone who doubted. And I don't ever leave comments there, but some people are like, are you maybe a little insane? This is just – but it's just because right-wing people are – so I've seen this literally physically at meetings. All you got to do is send a deep-voiced military type and have them talk, you men are really, you know, the new generation of patriots. You just say stuff like that, and they all get sexually excited, and they think they're freaking heroes. Most right-wing people are, I hate to say it, but they're kind of pathetic. And you throw in the Christianity, and you're like, yeah, you people love smoke being blown up your ass, and you don't really realize you're it's just pathetic. They're little people. You buy them in mass. You buy their preacher. You buy whoever leads their group. And that's the sad animal fact of it.
Yeah, so Torba making grand biblical declarations yesterday on Gab.
Yeah. Now, see that? Yeah, you reminded me. Thank you. You reminded me. I said what man would do is go into his head and say, okay, look at the pattern that I fell for with this QAnon. Now, what else in my head is wrong? Just like I did with the, okay, I know they're lying about COVID. What else? Oh, well, how about, why not the flu shots? Here, go back. The Jesus thing, the QAnon thing is the Jesus scam. It's just on a, it's more recent, but it follows the same pattern. Yeah. And then someone else, Jesus is going to show up and clean everything up, just like QAnon. No, he never has. It's thousands of years later. And someone actually posted on social media that this was very similar to something the Bolsheviks had done in Russia. They'd set out these people in the military are going to come through and save us from the communist revolution back in like 1920 or something.
Yes.
Now I don't know. I don't know the background there enough to judge whether that's right, but it sure as hell could be.
Alex, I read that stuff. The guy who wrote that, I forget his name now, but ex-KGB guy. He wrote the book New Lies for Old. And in New Lies for Old, actually, it's a very fascinating part of European history, Alex. It shows you how the Jews must have saved the Soviet Union when everybody in Europe was against this horrible Bolshevik revolution. And he describes the deceptions that they engaged in the 1920s. They actually pulled off a number of big deceptions, and they went and created all kinds of fake fronts, and they said, oh, here's this general, and people were buying into it. And basically, if I may just add to this, because it also leads to some of your American stuff that you're talking about. Alex, they were basically, you had all these Europeans who wanted to invade, all different kinds. Even Winston Churchill said that they must invade Russia. I think Britain, even at one point, had some troops in Russia at a point. But then what these commies did, these sort of Jewish communists, was they came with this cover story. No, don't do anything. There's this – it's exactly like your QAnon stuff. It's like, don't come. We've got like a deep plan, and people are working on it, and these guys are having these great successes. Yeah. Don't touch it now. In fact, all that we want from you is money. And so the Western people were like giving them money and stuff, and they were saying, no, we're going to pull this thing off. And then a couple of years later, it doesn't happen. And you know what? All the people that they sucked into it, they arrested them, killed most of them, etc. And then just a few years later, they actually pulled off a similar deception all over again. They said, oh, it's the end of communism. Everyone's going to, you know, we're busy sorting it out. and they actually make rules that make it look like communism's coming to an end. All the people who are against communism join the new movement. They join the movement. Then after a couple of years, the commies revoke all the laws that they changed. They grab everybody, kill them, put them into Siberia, etc. They did it multiple times.
Yeah, well, they're not going to change their techniques until people grasp them and respond to them. I think it was the same in China with the let a thousand flowers bloom, ... so they can be plucked out.
Well,
and the people keep falling for these sucker patterns, and they're passive, and they wait for someone to save them, and this is what happens.
Well, Alex, I've been seeing it on my email because I communicate with a bunch of people. And I've been constantly getting a stream of stuff coming from all sorts of different sources where they're talking about exactly like this Vox Day junk, where they're saying, oh, no, it's going to be sorted out.
They kicked the can down the road. Oh, yeah, well, you know what, maybe January 20th wasn't as important as we're saying. And, you know, it's just a cover, and Trump's really running things from Mar-a-Lago with the military. I mean, they can multiply that endlessly. Because the people are freaking simps.
Alex, I've been reading exactly that.
Stupid. It's beyond stupid.
The latest one that I've been seeing is where they are saying the military is going to knock out Biden, but the military is not going to do it at this point. They are just waiting to get 70% support. And they'll probably do it in March or April.
It's all completely bogus. The military has long ago. They're to the level where if they find out you have one little tattoo or own one little flag they don't like, they'll kick you out. So you think if they're doing that to the lowest level grunt or an enlisted guy, you think they're going to let the top ranks not be purified?
Never.
Well, of course, they started with the top ranks.
Dead on. Yeah, Alex, and just something about your election stuff where you were saying that you're convinced the election is rigged. Alex, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I was watching some videos, especially by computer people, because I discovered that computer guys have been getting into this. Some of them have been digging in different ways and explaining what data they found and where. And they were even going to websites like government websites and New York Times, etc. And those websites have got all kinds of charts and graphs and stuff. But what people don't know is that a lot of this, the data and the information is sitting hidden inside the HTML of that page, and that there's like hourly data that they published, etc. So these guys went and they grabbed all of that data, all of that public data that's sitting behind these government and other media websites, and they studied it. And Alex, those guys have been able to show that there are specific weird spikes that occurred, and they only occurred in the places and times when Trump was in the lead. And there was even a guy who was ex-military, I think, I'm not sure if he's ex-military intelligence, but there was also a guy who was even ex-NSA. And they all joined into this one particular group, and they all spent weeks studying this. And they say
it's tactical. Look, you can obviously have software do whatever you want it to do. You can obviously take these basically these mail-in ballots and write them up, and there's no ID required. There's almost nothing required to fool the system. So the techniques of it are not overly interesting. It can be done. And it was done. And they even got some of it on video, them driving up with all the extra ballots. They figured out how. Now, the thing that's minorly interesting to me is I believe they would have done all this in 2016. But I honestly think they thought Hillary was going to win.
Yeah.
And they were flabbergasted when she didn't.
It's the same with Brexit. Same with Brexit. 2016, massive turn. They decided to crank up the machinery to install their new world order.
Hey. Yeah, they only deal with their own kind. And they don't really – see – they destroy comment sections in the news on the news sites for the mainstream media. They don't even want comment sections. So they're not writing for readers. They're writing for each other. Yeah. And so this inherently, they're like a hot house or a cold, or the two figures I always go back to. They can't really deal with something outside of that. They don't even want to acknowledge it exists. And so when she lost, I think they were just like, damn, this guy used our platform to coordinate his people. We cannot allow that to ever happen again. And just degree by degree by degree, they froze out Trump's supporters, who are just normal white Americans. And even a lot of minority support him too. And they just froze them out. And now they're like, yeah, we made it through the mountains, and now we're on the plane. We never have to listen to a single dissenting voice again. And we use this COVID pretext, and we destroy all their businesses. Now they have no platforms. They have no businesses. They have no basis for opposing us. And we get going and seize their guns now. And the other restrictions, I mean, Biden is now proposing this. I didn't even mention this when we were starting, but Biden is the guy who was, I guess, he or his lawyers wrote most of the Patriot Act that clamps down on U.S. freedom back in 2001. He wrote it even well before then. Well, now he's proposing another new domestic terrorism bill that will essentially identify anyone who's not with the liberal agenda as a potential domestic terrorist and further restrictions so that we might get the same kind of laws you guys already have.
I saw in Ireland, Van Morrison is challenging the government about the lack of... you can't play live music. He's challenging. I'm surprised that there aren't more legal challenges from people over the, I mean, I guess we will see them.
You think that's an interesting point. I mean, here, I think it's the people, to the extent they've stood up, have been more restaurant people on the East Coast to some extent. We're getting into, and like gyms are like, fuck you. You want to find me $15,000? Go fuck yourself. Yeah. And if they can get the right court, they can get a decision in their favor. People are like, man, you're destroying everybody's income. So that's interesting. You say, I don't know. I haven't seen that over here. I haven't seen an example of that over here. But I guess it could be anyone who needs a public to make money ought to be, you know, it's hard for them.
Italy. I think all the
yes,
and they exactly tested and opened, and I think there is a movement in France and in Britain to open everything on the 1st of February or 31st of January, whenever they're going to. Mass civil disobedience is the only way around this, at least in the first stages, so that we can get governments to let, you know, just. Well, what can we do? Like I say, in Britain, we are really stuck because we've got this Tory government with a huge majority, but that's not really the issue. We have an opposition party that are clamoring for yet more tighter restrictions. So, you know, it's voters are looking at the you know, well, there's just absolutely no choice. You know, we are given no choice. It's just dreadful. And there won't be another election until at least next year, I would have thought. But France, my friend Yvonne Benedetti was taken into police custody 2 days ago for Antifa turned up at a Yellow Vests meeting. This was in 2019, I think, or maybe even earlier, 2017. No, 2019. He was at a Yellow Vest meeting and Antifa turned up and he took their camera and smashed the camera on the ground, and they've just arrested him and taken him to custody. We've got Hervé Riess still in jail, floundering in jail in France for publishing books. Mm-hmm. All this stuff going on, and yet we're lectured every day on the evilness of whites and blah blah and the regimes that cause this. And I was watching a video earlier today about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, the term that the World Economic Forum, Schwab, is it? Using this very term themselves. 2030, they want it in place. So, there is still time. We're not yet at stage 10 of the stages of genocide. But we're pretty high up there. They, you know, I think people are trying to realize
We never realized it. We only know it from, you know, books, but we know what they did in the Soviet Union. I personally, I guess the way I feel deeply in my heart is like, I want someone to come by my door and say, hi, I represent what is in fact the White Liberation Army. Can we count on you to, we're going to have our initial meeting on Saturday. I want some normal person who knows what the F they're doing, because I'm not qualified to lead it, to say that and say, I say, yeah, I would like to be a part of that. I will bring whatever guns I have, and I will show up, and I will do training, and I want to be part of liberating this country so that we can live as normal white people. That's exactly where I believe we are today. Well, it's not so gay to say it, but I don't know what else to say, man. We've done with work. Christ, you've done with songs. We've done with writing. We've done with recording. I mean, this is what the problem is. There has to be like a physical liberation of the country from these freaking Jews and the criminal assholes who support them.
Well, that's why they have to steal the election. That's why they have to steal the election.
Yes.
That's why they have to censor everybody. Break up people's networks.
I'm tired of it. I've been enduring this since the 80s. I guess we're all about the same age. I mean, I've had this garbage of being deplatformed and attacked and character smeared and bank account. I mean, this has been going on for literally like 30, 40 years in my case.
But you're still there, and you still survive.
I want to kill these motherfuckers. I want to kill every last one of them. There's so many people need to die. It's not even funny.
Now you're talking.
I'm not a freaking. I'm not a violent person. The ethnic group I'm from is actually known as pretty docile farming type people. We don't go into that's not for us. Literally said by my grandmother, politics is not for us. That's for like English Irish type, the people who set up the country. We just come here. We work hard. We have families. We have success. America's wonderful. But it's not like that anymore. We have to get involved. And damn it, we need some professional military people to say, yeah, let's get this organized and solved, for Christ's sakes.
Revolution.
A freaking garbage management problem, the way I look at it.
But you're still surviving. You're still surviving. You're still surviving. You still have your beliefs. You stand there. You're not going to be swayed.
Yeah, well, you know.
You've got your Aryan spirit. That's the main thing.
Yes. So. And you have that too. And I know Jan has it.
Yeah.
See, I hear it very strongly. I'm concerned. And honest to God, maybe I've said this before. Maybe I haven't. When I started all this, I went within myself and I said, because I knew where it would lead just from seeing in college, just seeing how the forces were. I'm like, well, do you have the ability to handle whatever happens to you, including being killed, being imprisoned, being tortured? Can you handle any of that? And I'm like, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. But the bigger danger, and this could just be me, with other people might break down mentally, but not me. But and that's simply objective. But physically, it's where you got to be careful. For me, I never even thought like this could have like physical effects on your body that are actually worse than what it could be on your mind. I purely thought of it in terms of, can you be mentally broken? Because if you can be, this is not something you want to really do. So I'm telling others, it's all of a piece. You really have to. So when I hear you, I was even going to say that earlier, like you have a great spirit for all the garbage you got to put up with. Right. And that goes for Jan, too. But you got to take really good care of your body as well. And I hope you guys are. And I work on that much harder than I don't have to work in the mental part at all, but I do have to work in the physical part.
Well, the singing is definitely hugely beneficial for the entire organism, you know, from the breathing and the rhythm and the sound, the acoustics.
You're right. Right.
I hate going to a local swimming pool. I would love to live by the sea where I could go swimming every day. But that's
can you swim in the sea around England?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. It's
a bit cold.
You'd need a triathlon thing, you know, one minute.
Rubber suit, like in L.A. L.A. has beaches, but the water is freezing out in Southern California. So the Gulf of Mexico is way better. It's much, much milder, although there is an undertow.
I have a friend who lives in Dover, and she has a friend who swims every day. There's people in Switzerland in the Alps who go swimming in the lake every day.
Oh, you see
I heard they got some beautiful lakes up there, don't they? Mountain alpine stuff.
Some freeze, you know, depending on the altitude. Some freeze, and you can skate on them in the winter. But that exists every.
Do you know what I didn't realize until like literally like a month ago? Like Penzance is an actual place in England. Oh, yeah. The Pirates of Penzance. I thought that I never had any idea that was an actual place.
It's
thought it was some made up name.
It's stunning. Yeah, it's the most stunning coastline part in England, I think, around there. Cornwall.
I think I found some coasters that had like Penzance or something on them. I'm like, what? Like, I looked it up and I was like,
yeah.
Oh. I thought that was just some made up name by whoever, Gilbert and Sullivan or whoever.
No, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous down there. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah,
so that's cool. But you can hear, the point is you listening to this can hear Allison's unbroken spirit. It very much, and if they didn't know your musical thing, and still feel the soul, the spirit, the laughter, the music. These are all sort of lubricants that keep you from drying up and falling apart and being crushed by misery and the rest of it. So you got to preserve your body and your spirit if you're going to get into a war like this. And by God, it seems like we're all, this kind of what we're saying here is that everybody, you may not be interested in a horrible, miserable racial war, but it's kind of being thrust upon you at this point.
Well,
you know?
Alex, I totally agree. And I was telling Allison earlier, I was saying to her, I can't wait for the sounds of gunfire. I'm so sick to death of all this bullshit that, the day when that comes, I'm going to be really happy. Because eventually, you know, and I must tell you, when I look at whites and white history, whites do get very sick and tired of things. And you can see that that kind of stuff is building up in us. And we might not think that we will want to live in those things, but it.
Well, I train myself to think incisively, and maybe I got a natural bent for it anyway. But I train my, you know, you come to a point where, look, they're not going to allow white people to organize. They're not going to allow any legal serious changes to the system, and they're bent on wiping us out. They don't even really hide it, to be honest. That's not an exaggeration. They basically say that. I mean, the only fig leaf they'll even use is that we're going to kill all white. Oh, we're going to get rid of whiteness. Well, it amounts to the same thing. Racism is the same thing as whiteness because it's only used against whites. So at a certain point, you come to, okay, these people want to kill us. We need to fight back.
That they are the biggest.
Definitely.
The biggest reason for the rise in anti-Semitism. People see.
Well, when you say there's no, when you a priori reject Jew behavior as the cause of Jew reception, then they're basically saying we're completely invalid. Everything is driven by our bad character. Nothing is ever driven by what they do. You can't deal with people like that. They've hardened their heads against reason. They don't like us. They're distempered. What do you do? I mean, how do you deal with rabid dogs or distempered cats? There's nothing to deal with them. That's just how they are, and they're a threat to our society. And we're not going to live as their slaves.
Keep on keeping on. That's what we've
got to
do.
But we got to come together as a team and do something about it. Now we need to have military people step forward, organize us, and let's get the show on the road, because there's not all that many of them. And when they're forced to, they will back off.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they want us worn down. They want us emotionally destabilized. They want to get us on our mental health, so they will isolate us, demonize us, finally try and criminalize us. But then you said it before, Alex, you know, our problem is that we don't tend to stick together as a group, you know, and I've been, you both know, you know, I've not been only fighting on this legal front. I've been also, it has been engendered that I've also been having to defend myself against attacks from in the revisionist nationalist community. You know, it's just this is the way that it's always been done, this divide and rule, and just not falling into that plot and just continuing on our, you know, plowing my own little furrow with my music here. I think I see other musicians, but you know, nothing particularly that interests me. I'm I'm sure there are, but I've just not seen it, you know. So I'm just continuing doing my thing, and that's really what keeps me motivated. And as I said earlier, you know,
it's that's the important thing, because they're trying to get you to stop doing whatever it is you do. Well, screw them.
They want us off that off. You know, we can't be having people like that on our platforms. We can't be having her using our platforms to sell her goods. So, you know, that's why I was completely isolated, losing my Twitter back in, you know, 2016. And everyone's complaining about losing their Twitter now. And I'm, well, well, you know, so long as I can keep doing what I can keep doing. And it's not even a question of making money. You know, I just get by. I don't want to go and to the state that they think for some reason that I must be getting loads of donations, but they go after all your donation sites and your banks and what you said earlier, Alex.
Yeah, they kick you off Patreon or whatever. They absolutely know that that's almost the first thing they go for. They go for your job. Yeah. The media interviews you. Oh, you work anywhere? If you're trying to do something on the side or whatever, and if not that, then they go after whatever your mainstream source of funding is, and then just bank account, which isn't even a source of funding, it's just a place to store money.
They want to you know, ban me from having the access to the internet to be able to publish my music, to sell it, to publish it. I did this at a stage in my life. I was later in my life than you, both of you, for sure. But I did it, and I did it at a time when I knew, and like you said, I looked into myself, you know, can I do this? And I did it because it's gonna cause tensions, it's gonna cause conflicts, it's gonna cause conflicts with the people that you're closest to, sometimes even your own family members. Definitely. Such is life, but.
But some things are hard and they're worth doing. That's a lot of the reason I did it. I didn't say I'm uniquely qualified, but I'm qualified to do it. It certainly is a hugely important, probably the most important thing I could do. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know you guys feel about the same way. I mean, what's more important? And everything we've said has been, but we have endured the abuse for decades now. You're this, that. Well, what we have said is correct.
Yeah.
The other people and their analysis has been wrong. The white nationalists have been correct. What we said about who's driving things and what their actual agenda is. And now I hope a lot more people are coming to see that.
Well, Alex, that's why they are trying to ban. You know, why are they hunting everybody down like a dog, banning people everywhere, moving in on every form of technology? It can only be because we are successful. That even if we have five people that we talk to, we're going to be able to still spread the message, and they will hunt us down in every which way. But I think that the ultimate thing is going to be revolution, war, civil war. These are the things that are coming. Definitely, I think it's going to come everywhere. It's just a case of which country before, you know, which one's going to be first, but. The killing is coming, definitely. And as for the politics, when I started this, Alex, I thought to myself, am I willing to die for my politics? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And why? Because it's freaking important. And, you know, just look around you at capitalism. Alex, capitalism has lost so much meaning to me. I look at everything that you're allowed to see, that they allow you to see. And you know what? You're only allowed to see silly things and stupid things and meaningless things. The only businesses that are allowed are things that are meaningless.
Bread and circuses.
Yes. You know, the whites who are serious are not allowed to talk. That is how it is. And so don't, you know, capitalism to me has lost absolutely all meaning to me. I'm starting to think that, you know what, I don't even want to deal with money unless the money is related to race and politics. Money just by itself has no meaning, and you're like a prostitute if you just go and just work for anything. In fact, it must have meaning. I think completely differently to what I used to think. The total opposite.
Yeah.
And Alison, didn't you send me a link, something about BitChute appearing in BitChute and Ofcom or something? What is that about?
Ofcom is the government regulatory body for broadcasting. So it regulates the BBC and ITV and Channel 4. And it also regulates certain YouTube channels, the ones that have got a big commercial followings, some like music channels, MTV, etc. So today it's talking about BitChute, regulating BitChute according to discrimination laws, anti-discrimination laws. And that's who they're going after next. Says the guy's name. I wasn't aware that he's British, but apparently that seems to be the case. So that's where they're going after him. I might be wrong about that.
Are you saying the owner of BitChute might not be British?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Really?
It says his name in the article that I sent you.
I took it that he was British because it's a company registered in Britain.
Well, therefore, it's a British company. So that's how they're going off now. They're going after now. BitChute.
So they're going to try and use the normal control mechanisms that they use for the BBC, etc., on BitChute now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's at least not, they're not taking them to court.
Well, I think that they pay a license. You pay some kind of license to be regulated by Ofcom. So he will already pay, and these music channels, they would all already pay for a broadcasting license. Now, under the Communications Act, which is the one I've been prosecuted under and am being further prosecuted under, there is a section in there which exempts public broadcasting services from any kind of prosecution under this section of the Communications Act. So, for example, if the BBC broadcast my songs, they couldn't be prosecuted for it. I mean, obviously, they're not going to do that. But if they did, they couldn't be prosecuted under that legislation. So I don't know how they're going to go for this, because Ofcom has already had a few challenges. For example, the BBC and Top Gear, a program about cars, quite a popular program. They have YouTube channels. And also, if you look at news websites like The Times, they will often have videos. So there was question about whether these sites should be regulated also by Ofcom. And I think that the BBC, and they won their case that there was no need for them to be regulated as YouTube channels. So it's a very complex, very muddy issue of law. How that will affect BitChute, I'm not sure. I mean, it's just completely and utterly absurd where they are teaching in BBC primary schools via virtual learning. They are teaching to children that there are now not just two genders, male and female. They're teaching that there are over 100 genders.
Oh, really?
You can see the looks on the kids' faces. There was a video yesterday from a Christian channel, I think, this time. There was a video yesterday about this, about a BBC report on how children are being induced into this gender agenda, that there are now over... This is what taxpayers in Britain are teaching teachers to teach their children in schools.
In the U.S., yeah, quite right. And they're doing that in the USA, and ADL is pushing something for like white kids who are like 2 to 5 or something. More anti-white garbage.
I read somewhere that the Jews or Judaism teaches that there are 21 genders or some junk like that. So this is there's the root of all evil again. But Alison, so you're saying that BitChute is now going to be treated almost like a media organization, but it's really just a website, and websites don't normally need to be regulated. Can't the owner just say, I'm, you know, this is my website, because it's only like owned by two guys or something, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna cope, because there's loads of things that exist already based in Britain that have been going for years and for far longer, and are just as much quote unquote, you know, the sites where the far right will gather to, you know, plot there.
Conspiracy. It's almost like
yes. Hate, all the hate.
Well,
yes.
in the U.S. they have the distinction between a publisher and a platform. I don't know if they have that over there. To me, it's kind of an odd distinction.
Oh, yeah, because there has been some legal talk about whether public, you know, defamation laws, whether by publishing on Twitter, you know, they're a secondary publisher, aren't they, of the. You've obviously got the user.
They would say if someone makes something illegal as the play, if you're a publisher, you're responsible for it. If you're a platform, you're not responsible for stuff that your people post. As long as you're notified and you remove it, no problem. But if they get rid of that, but then they say we're that, but then they're going into making all these, you know, like censoring the president.
That's right. Well, that's what's happened, I think, over here is that that's the giant social media companies, they basically deleted that. I was reading an argument the other day. There is, you can look at it from the perspective that it has, especially since Web 2.0. So for the past two decades, changed the way that the media operates, and that the public opinion will things because of a Twitter storm. It's absolutely unusual, as we see now with all these purges, these social media platforms become power of censoring government
loans and stuff, but somehow not to the internet, which was overtly built as a defense project for military communications and later commercialized. So I don't know how they can use that infrastructure developed in the public dime, and yet they can ban people who are speaking First Amendment protected speech. But they can.
They can, they do. Even
and
the president.
And then they collude in a way that if you were a gas station colluding to keep a certain price, they would go after you. They collude to prevent you from creating your own alternate platform.
Yeah.
And then in their typical reverse way of gaslighting, they say you are the one seeking an echo chamber when they won't let you publish your views on their site, contradicting their people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The beginning of this article just reads, a video sharing platform is being reported to Ofcom for hosting hateful, violent and anti-Semitic content in the first big test of social media regulation. BitChute, which has been described for YouTube for the far right, is hosting scores of videos related to beep, beep, and glorification, blah, blah, blah. It's glorification, beep, beep, and glorification, full stop. Its users can also watch videos concerning conspiracy theories about US presidential elections, the coronavirus pandemic, and vaccines. So that's how it starts.
They just can't describe anything without some kind of loaded bullshit biased term. Not a single thing.
Alison, something I must tell you. All this talk of conspiracy theories and things, in my own court documents and the stuff thrown at me, it's all about, oh, he's involved in conspiracies and violence and, oh, God.
Speaking of that, Jan, we probably go about another 20 minutes and wrap up here, but what is going on with you and in South Africa generally? So we turn to the third continent.
Well,
but the largest continent. I don't mean to underestimate its importance.
Well, Alex, as it's pretty much more of the same. It's you know, it's just stupidity and more stupidity and more stupidity. That is South Africa in a nutshell. You know, they also want to roll out the vaccines. We're back to like I say, quite a hectic lockdown. Some of the things I've been posting on my websites, I've been posting quite a few stories about crime and murders, and there are still some farm murders that are taking place. They say that in 2020 that there was an average of 4.7, I think it's 4.7 farm attacks every week, something like that. But the thing that I really want to talk about is the economy. However, I must tell you, just to show you some of the incompetence, the South African Army bought medicines to the tune of 235 million rand, which is about $15 million or so. And they had $15 million worth of medicines stashed away, and then somebody forgot to close a door. So all the medicines, $15 million worth of medicines, had to be thrown away because it got all spoiled because it wasn't kept cold. But the real thing that interests me is the economy and the sinking of the economy. They are saying that the latest lockdown, that 1 in 12 South Africans is going to lose his job as a result of the latest lockdown. Already we've lost, you know, we don't have such a big workforce. Probably out of 60 million people, there are probably only 16 million who are official workers, and everybody else is loafing around and floating around. But anyway, the really big story is the economy. They are saying that we've had the worst recession since World War II. They are saying that in economic terms, we are in the worst state we've been in 90 years. And the government is desperately trying to borrow money, just like your country. I suppose they are printing money, but we don't hear about it. Instead, they talk about borrowing money. So our government is constantly borrowing money. And they are constantly hunting for more cash, and all the things they are doing are just costing so much money, wasting so much money. That's how this thing is functioning. But the interesting thing that I saw was the government is pledging that they are definitely going to cut costs, and they are talking about they're going to cut 300 billion rand from their costs annually, which in American terms is about $20 billion. So it's a lot of money for us. But they are absolutely determined, they say, to cut these costs. But I want to tell you from my experience and life here in Africa, Alex, they are never, never going to cut any of those costs. As much as they say they're going to do cost cutting, they will never be able to achieve it, and I will even predict that they may even increase their costs, because these people are so inefficient, and they're also, everybody is busy stealing out of the system. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term the gravy train.
Yes.
Right, the gravy train. Now, do you know, in some of these African countries like Zimbabwe, even the blacks mock the gravy train. You know what they call their politicians? They call them chefs. So they all know that everybody's busy stealing and loading up on prices. So whenever there's something to be done, if there's a task to be done, and they've got to go and get companies to sort of make what do you call it when you are looking for offers of how much it will cost, etc. Anyway, they know that the companies that are going to come in, that the politicians are going to want a 20% cut, and the politician's mistress is also going to need a new Mercedes Benz and all these things. And so what you find is, like in South Africa, when the whites used to build power stations, for example, a fully functional power station used to cost like 15 billion rand. But when the blacks came along, suddenly the same power station costs 60 billion. And every single thing that they do, it's overblown in costs. The costs just shoot through the roof. You know, we've got an apparent high speed train here in the Johannesburg Pretoria area. This was something that President Thabo Mbeki brought. He said that we are going to be on the same standard as the rest of the world. We're also going to have high speed trains. So we've got a train, okay? And I'll tell you quickly about the train. I saw the train the other day when I was on the highway. And I want to tell you a bit about the train. So we were going to have a train that runs in Johannesburg, Pretoria. And the train apparently was going to reduce the amount of people who are on the roads. And then they said, you see, this high-speed train, it's going to carry large numbers of passengers at high speed, and so we don't have to fix the roads, and we don't have to build new roads, etc. All of this later turned out to be horseshit. The whole lot of it was junk, okay? Instead, they ended up with a high-speed train that basically runs from to the airport, to the Johannesburg airport. So it's basically is a train that serves the airport. Alex, it cost a ton of money. It cost tens of billions of rands to build this freaking railway line, this only high-speed railway line in Africa. Now, part of what makes me laugh at this stupid thing is when you hear about high-speed trains in Europe, you hear about trains that are doing 200, 300 kilometers an hour, maybe even faster. They can go almost as fast as an aircraft. The Japanese have got trains that can run 500 kilometers an hour. Well, it's now when you get to South Africa, okay, the high speed train also passes along some of the highways and things. And the other day I was on the highway coming back from Pretoria, and I was trying to chase the high speed train, and the high speed train, I can tell you, did beat me, but only because the the speed limit is 120 kilometers an hour, and I think that I estimate the high speed train is doing 130 kilometers an hour. So even Hitler's Autobahn in 1930 was faster than our fucking high speed train that cost tens of fucking billions. Okay, this thing costs a ton of money. Anyway, so that's Africa. But the thing I'm telling you, let me tell you something. The country is going downhill. It's beautiful. I just say to people, I can't wait for the fucking shooting to start. And everything is just getting worse and worse. And it's beautiful. Me, I don't want to see my enemies doing well. And I say, sink the fucking ship. Sink it. And I'm watching the economy falling and the government struggling and big business struggling. Hey, big business, Alex, is struggling like crazy as well. Lots of it is Jewish owned. Do you know there was one company here in South Africa that almost got wiped out? It had 140,000 employees. It almost went bankrupt, and then somebody came. They come and they offer them cents on the dollar on the dollar, and then buy it out. But yeah, things are falling apart more and more. But I'm enjoying it. But the high speed train.
All right, that's the typical boondoggle. There's something in California where they've spent an ungodly amount of money. I don't think they they've either not built it at all or they've only built a couple stops. It's like some utterly unnecessary political project running a high-speed train from, maybe you know more than I do, like San Francisco to L.A., except not really L.A. It's just sort of out in the desert by Bakersfield or something. I don't know what – but they're always doing stuff that is not needed for political reasons.
Yeah, we have that as well in England. HS2, it's called, I think, a big train that goes from London up north. But people complain because, you know, you've got the Pennines in the middle of Britain. It's only small, but what about the north? You know, the transport in the north is nothing compared. And I've lived in both the north and the south. It's nothing compared to what it is in the southeast.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they also like doing like light rail. Like they put in some light rail in Salt Lake, which I didn't think was really needed, and just kind of blocks up the roads, which the Mormons had the foresight to make really nice broad avenues. And Salt Lake is laid out like a grid, so it's really easy to get around. But they love doing light rail to get the inner city black criminals out into the rich white suburbs. You know, St. Louis is an example of that. They get them out to the malls where they can do their mall aping and attacking people, and it's just disgusting, politicized. Salt Lake's just more. No, Salt Lake is full of liberals who are recreating the problem on a smaller scale so far that are on the West Coast. And these people, after they destroy it, they come even here where I am, which is, you know, not some top of the line, great, awesome area. But there's loads of people, and I could even be called one of them, who used to live on the coast, come to the interior. And usually they bring with them bad ideas that they think are advanced that recreate the same problems. But I was going to ask you anything you care to tell people listening about your own personal case or any updates on that front,
Alex,
case or cases.
On the case, I had to do another document. We replied to all the documents. And then what we decided to do, we were looking at other things that had been done, including news articles that had been published about me. And we decided to include that in yet another document to the Jewish attorneys. And the moment that they got it, they immediately wrote back and they basically rejected my document. And I must tell you why, because there is something that I discovered, my friend. There was a court order. Remember, there was an interim court order that said I had to take certain things down from my website. Well, guess what, Alex? Listen, Allison, you won't believe this. Guess what? I found that one of the things that I had to ban off my own website was existing on a Jewish website.
A Jew with a double standard, unheard of.
I'm telling you.
Unprecedented.
So that was among the stuff in this document, and the Jews rejected it, and the Jewish attorneys rejected it, and they then basically indicated that if I want this in the case, I will have to do a whole bunch of other legal stuff with the court to see if the court will accept it. But that's as much as I will say at this point. Otherwise, I'm busy planning and still liaising with my attorney. And the court date is 16th of March. In March, expect legal stuff to explode. I've been doing some work. Expect legal stuff to explode. There's more coming.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. We ought to wrap it up here pretty quick. Let's see, you guys, what do you all have going for February? Or anything looking in your countries or continents or in your personal lives, anything remarkable going on?
Well, I have plans. I have to make a list of all my arrests and the times that the police took my material, my equipment, my devices, which they've still got a whole load of my computers and phones. And so I've got to write this. And I've been trying to kick myself up the behind to do it for ages. It's a tedious task. I'm really, you know, and this is another deliberate tactic, is that they do these things to bog us down in these very
complex, dull, muddy legal issues that, of course, are not going to inspire readers. Readers want to be entertained, don't they? If they want to come, court again, police again, boring, depressing. So I've got to do that. But apart from that, I'm just going to try and put out as much music as I can.
Excellent. But why do you have to do it, though? The court is making you do it, or
no?
I don't understand that.
No, because I want to make a complaint, an official complaint about the way that I've been treated by the British police.
Good.
But if you keep that ongoingly, then you can just add
to the top of it.
I mean,
yes.
Jesus, it's absurd to say.
Yes, true.
Wrote another song, hauled into court again.
I've been. But
she's a hardened song criminal, people.
Yeah.
This is the life, man. This is the life we chose. Writing songs, getting thrown in jail.
That's right. Well, like you were saying, you know, I thought about it. Am I prepared to go to jail? Yes. And these songs, you know, my goodness, imagine, here I am, you know, the granddaughter of a British soldier who died, was killed by the Germans in 1940. Here I am. And I've been jailed in my own country for singing satirical songs. Well, thank you. I think my contribution is self-evident. Yeah. Even though, you know, that's all I can really say about it. Yes, this is another statement. If they want to put me in prison or they want to gag me further, I mean, it's just a bit too late for that. They can put me in prison. I don't care. I'll save loads of money.
And you'll have a lot of time to write songs if they do.
I can still write songs. I don't need an instrument. All I need is my mind. Everything happens in your mind
true.
True thing. It's
and that jerk from UK, Sacha Baron Cohen, that Jew, Borat, yes, going around trying to censor people like you, in effect. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm a native here, and my family were natives.
Just contrived
things, generations.
There's such a people that can, they can deliver a punch, but they sure as hell can't handle one.
Absolutely.
Whining for shutting down anyone who writes anything that the ADL doesn't like, you know.
I think that's kind of why they dislike it, because it reminds them of their own tactics against us. You know, I've got a broad culture in music, not just Anglo-Saxon. I think you can see what I'm imitating here. I have got this broad. My latest number, it's going to be a bossa nova. You'll see. I'm so proud of this comment, and it's lyrics that have been in my possession since 2017, and I wasn't ready for it back then. Song, but bossa nova. And I can do it, and I know my
stuff. Now, where are people going to be able to find this?
I've been publishing on my BitChute channel. If you just go there, Alison Chablot, and on my own website, alisonchablot.com.
Excellent, excellent. How about you, Jan? And coming up in February,
I've got nothing special. I'm just trying to get back to normal.
Get your ducks in order for March.
Yeah, and sort out website stuff and so forth. But yeah, Alison, nice to hit back. Hit back whenever you can. I have similar ideas myself.
Well, you know, it's only song. It's only a song. How can they be claiming that, you know, my songs are inciting racial genocide? That's basically, you know.
I mean,
there must be some kind of induced trauma in anybody who would think that. By singing a satirical song, this woman is inciting genocide? Really? No, come on.
Very overblown.
Songwriting is not a crime, like skateboarding.
Indeed.
Well, people, that is the ridiculous world we live in. And really, at a certain point, you can just simply laugh at it until they machine gun you, I guess. I mean, I don't know what to say. If you can't think and breathe and act normally, I mean, that's where we are, though. This is, honest to God, this is three continents, people. Three continents of craziness. We haven't even touched what's going on at the polls. I mean, I don't actually know, but it's probably even worse. But Anyway, I want to thank all of you for being with us today. We'll get back together in a few weeks and do it again if you guys are willing.
Sure. It's great. Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, man. Very salubrious listening to all this. But anyway, thanks to Allison Chablot in the UK and Jan in South Africa. I've been Alex Linder in Northeast Missouri. And we'll be back with you again for another Team White real soon.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pyville.net. That's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.